Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party.
Welcome, welcome. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree/CJSF Radio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CJSF, which is 2573. Welcome again. This is Slumber Party, and I'm your host for the hour, DJ Coco. Normally, I'd be joined by DJ Star, but she's off in Germany studying abroad right now. So I've been taking over the shows for the last while. But yeah, so glad you're joining me this week. I really like my topic this week, and I hope you will like it listening further on. I wanted to just jump straight into the music as usual. And started off with an artist that I recently saw over the weekend. So on Friday night, I went to go see them. I went to the Take Your Time Back venue, which is on Kingsway in Vancouver. And I originally was going to go for Sour Dope, which I saw at CJSF the last week, and it was kind of like a acid jazzy band and very, very chillax. But then the lead singer, or the lead saxophonist, is also the lead for a punk band called Like Whatever. So I decided to rally up a friend and go to this event where they were playing with Spectra, Slow Aside, and Cara Bateman. And very cool venue. I have never been here before. It was a little difficult to get to. There was no front entrance, and you had to run around the back. And it was this very tucked away little area, but the venue inside was so cool. So cool. There was graffiti all over the walls, and it had a very homemade artsy feel to it. And I really enjoyed my time there and listening to all the bands. I ended up actually getting and buying a denim patch from one of the bands called Slow Aside. The lead singer was name is Rain, and she created these denim patches out of her sister's jeans and then used fabric markers to design their band logo onto it. So, of course, me being the sucker for things like this, I bought one and I got to meet her, which was so cool. She was such a cool person. And then I saw Like Whatever, and they had this very punk vibe going on, and as well, it was combined with the lead saxophone playing, which I've never heard before, but I will definitely be hearing more of in the future. And then the very last band that played, so there was the four bands throughout the whole night, was Cara Bateman, and such a cool lady. I was flabbergasted by her voice and the band, and I really ended up liking this one song called Strawberry Skies, which, of course, I got a little radio show going on, so might as well showcase it for the day. But this was from her latest album, which the band just released, called Daddy Issues. So I was going to play a little bit for you today. So you can take a listen and, tell me how it goes. Enjoy.
Renaissance Coffee is open at SFU. Parminder and his team have been serving the SFU community with great coffee for more than 20 years. If you're looking for a wholesome meal, delectable desserts, or something to warm yourself and lift your spirits, Renaissance Cafe is the place to be, featuring fair trade espresso beverages and brewed coffee. Renaissance Coffee is open Monday to Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Well, how do you get up and go? Thank you.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. You're tuning into Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco, and I'll be your host for this hour. The last song you just heard was called Been Longing by Sophia Miller from her album I Follow It It Guides. Amazing, very ambient album. She is based out of Victoria, so very local. I love it when we play local artists. But yeah, that was that song. And then that first song you heard, I introduced before, but I'll just do it one more time, was called Strawberry Skies by Kara Bateman from her album Daddy Issues. So, just wanted to go straight into the topic for today. So, last weekend, I said that I went to the Take Your Time Back venue, but during that weekend, I also did a foraging workshop as a Mother's Day gift with my mother. I found this on Eventbrite from this lady. She is a holistic nurse, certified nutritionist, and herbalist. So she was running, she's been running and hosting these little workshops in the local parks in Vancouver and Burnaby for foraging in the forests and the local parks. We did not cover any mushrooms, but it was mostly for the plants, the berries, some of the trees, and it was very, very interesting. I have taken a couple biology classes before, and we did do some nature walks and learning about the different plants and identifying species in the forest, but this was a very honed in version, and I enjoyed it a lot, and it had a lot of holistic information also involved with it. So I wanted to kind of share some of my favorite foraging notes, and as well I did a little extra research on some of the biochemistry of the reason why of some of these plants and etc. So I'll just get straight into it. Some of the top or some of the plants and species that I'm gonna cover would be the dandelions, daisies, English ivy, and then some trees as well. So the weeping willow, Douglas fir, western hemlock, and the western red cedar. So we started the tour off all in a group, and the first thing we did was go over to the side of the parking lot and check out the dandelions that the city actually mowed most of the dandelions around in the area, but there was this one little scraggly dandelion left. So we examined it, and the tour guide, I guess, foraging guide showed us and told us about the dandelion. So the dandelion, as you may know, are those weeds. People just see them as weeds. They're the ones with the yellow flowers, flower heads, and then in the summertime they turn into those big puff balls of little seeds that fly off into the wind. So pretty very common knowledge of a dandelion. But some of the specifics of it is that it's from the aster family. So this is a family that have very many small flowers in a disc-like flower head, and the petals are all individual flowers. So, and each seed is produced by a single flower. Dandelions are completely edible. So you can eat the yellow flower head, you can eat the leaves, you can eat the stem, you can eat the roots. Although most people normally don't do this because it is very bitter and kind of an eccentric taste. I don't think people would normally see weeds and think, ooh, I'm going to eat that off the road kind of thing. But if you do want to eat it, because my mom and I have plans in the future to do some things with dandelions, you can take dandelion leaves and you can saute them in a stir fry, or you can bake them, or even just put them raw in a salad. I was looking also online, and the dandelion flower heads, you can make a fritter recipe and fry it with flour and butter. And as well, ooh, I feel a sneeze coming on. Okay, I'm not going to sneeze. For the roots, the dandelion roots, this is what I find the most interesting, and I will definitely be trying this at least one time this summer, is that you can roast the dandelion roots for coffee. So you can use the larger part of the roots, because if you try to roast the smaller parts, it will easily burn. But roasting the larger part of the dandelion roots in the oven, and then finishing with that, grinding it up, and then you can also add coffee beans and do as you like, but it can be made into your own uncaffeinated, decaffeinated version of coffee that's very good for you. Dandelion is highly nutritious, all parts of it, including the root. It has a lot of vitamins, minerals, and fibers, and fiber. Some of the vitamins involved is vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin K. And as well, it has a lot of history in Ayurvedic and Chinese medicine. So they think that the bitter taste and the cooling properties of dandelion is good for your energy balancing. So I didn't know that. Very interesting. And as well, some of the other parts is that all parts of the dandelion contain antioxidants. So this is a pretty common term, and you may have heard of this in a lot of other foods. So antioxidants, I'm just going to give a little rundown, are natural compounds that neutralize harmful free radicals in our body. So free radicals essentially are very highly unstable oxygen molecules. So these oxygen molecules have, if you remember back to high school chemistry, that the protons and the neutrons are in the middle of a molecule, and then the rings around it are the electrons. And so all molecules want to be as stable as possible, so the outer ring always wants to be paired up with another electron. And so free radicals have an outside ring that is not paired up. And so this means that free radicals are always trying to disrupt another bond, a bonded molecule in your body, to kind of stabilize itself. So this is why having high amounts of free radicals in your body is harmful, because it will try to steal an electron from the cells that you need, such as proteins and lipids and DNA. So this can cause a lot of problems. So this is where antioxidants come into play, where you can eat it, get it from your nutrition, and also your body naturally makes antioxidants. So eating dandelion is a great source of antioxidants. So fun tip, if you want something that is nutritious and free, I mean, don't go for any of the sprayed dandelions on the side of the road. Try to go maybe in your local park that you know that they don't mow often or try to spray down. But yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. And if you don't want to eat dandelions and you still want the benefits of antioxidants, you can just eat the more normal food. So this is like blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, variants of berries. You can have nuts, and as well dark leafy greens and vegetables. So this is including kale and spinach. But dandelions, along with being a very good source of antioxidants, it is good at reducing inflammation. So it contains this compound called polyphenols. So another good benefit of eating dandelions. So hopefully you are convinced. The only con that I recently thought of is that I have spring allergies, and I am allergic to pollen to some degree. I haven't felt any of my allergies yet, which I'm surprised, but normally I'd be pretty allergic to the pollen in the air. So the middle of dandelions do contain pollen, so be aware if you do have seasonal allergies and trying to eat dandelion. I believe that the leaves and the roots would be much better if you do. But anyway, moving on. Next, we have another type of weed that people see around and don't think about eating are daisies. So these are the little, tiny little white flowers with the yellow center. And it also comes from the same family, so the aster family. And so only the top flower head and the leaves are edible. People normally don't eat the roots, but you can eat these two primary components. It is not typically used for eating, though. I stand corrected. You can use it actually more for balms and salves. So this is great for your skin, and you can use the oils from daisy to do this. And you can also make tea if you'd like to actually try to taste it. There is a medicinal tea with the daisy heads that you can do. So all you'd have to do, like any tea, is that you would boil water with the daisy heads and then let it sit for a bit, strain it out, and then drink it. People say it has a slightly sweet taste. I haven't tried it yet, but as well, I will try it at some point. And it also is said that if you drink daisy tea, it can help with coughing, bronchitis, and colds, and anything that helps the respiratory tract. I saw a couple websites claiming this, but I think I'm going to fact check this because I've also seen by more credible sources that there is not enough scientific evidence to prove that it helps with these three things. So take this with a grain of salt that daisy tea will help you with your coughing. You should also be aware that daisies also contain pollen in the center. So be aware for those seasonal allergies. I'm also pointing the finger at myself as well. Moving on, we have number three that I found interesting, which was English ivy. So ivy is pretty commonly known. It's that kind of spiraling leaves that grow everywhere around trees and in parks. And in stores, they make fake ivy for rooms, and as well, they sell real ivy. But I learned that ivy is actually a villain. It's a bad guy. So it is not native to Canada, and it was introduced from Europe, and it is a very invasive species. So we were told that ivy wraps around trees and the roots, and it steals the nutrients around them and eventually killing the tree. So my mom and I were shocked to hear this, and especially my mom, because we've been growing cedar trees along the border of our house for a while now, and they've grown pretty tall. And there's been ivy growing around some of the trees, which my mom originally thought that, hey, this is great. I mean, it must be helping in some way if it's growing around the trees. And now we learned that we have to snip down all the ivy. So a lot of gardening to be done on the weekend now. But just so you're aware too, for your houses and gardens and your place of residence, that ivy is invasive, and it will kill the plants around them if it can. So be aware. And then we also got into the trees during the walk, which I didn't expect. It was more of like a holistic view of the park instead of just the berries. This was probably my favorite little tidbit of information that I learned, which was from the weeping willow. It's that big tree that has all the light green leaves that droop down to the ground. Very beautiful tree. And this tree is not native to BC. It was introduced from Europe, and it's from the family called Salicaceae. Tried to pronounce that right, but that's the closest I can get. And I found that this was very interesting because the leaves and the bark contain this compound called salicin. So this overall is a natural compound that is converted to salicylic acid in the body. And salicylic acid is the precursor for acetyl salicylic acid, which is the name for the very commonly known medicine aspirin. I was shocked. I don't know why my mouth dropped when I heard this. So I did a little extra research onto this. So this is going to get more into the biochemistry. So I found out that salicin is made up of one part an alcohol molecule, and it is attached to a beta glucoside. And so when your body consumes this and it breaks it down, it becomes one part into glucose, into sugar that you can use as energy. And then the other part is converted into salicylic alcohol. And so alcohol, as we know, is poisonous to the body. It is a poisonous byproduct. It is a surprise that we all consume alcohol so much, as it's poisoning our body. But in nature, our body normally wants to get rid of this alcohol, so we convert it to salicylic acid via oxidation process, so adding an oxygen to the salicylic alcohol, and then this creates salicylic acid. So I was very impressed with this. I didn't know about the history of weeping willows and the properties of salicin. And so I looked a little into the history, and actually it was used, the salicin into salicylic acid was historically used for inflammation and pain. So it did have the same NSAID properties as aspirin, which stands for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. And the only thing, though, is that it has a very bitter taste, and as well, it upsets your stomach. So they currently, researchers and scientists don't recommend using salicylic acid from salicin to treat, like as a natural remedy to treat any pain or inflammation you have, because acetyl salicylic acid, aspirin, is very, very safe and does not have any of these extra side effects. So this is the one time, or maybe not one time, but this is a time where the artificial version is the best out there, and you should use this one. And that was the story of the weeping willow. And we also got into some of the other types of trees too. So this was more for identification, and I went to my local park after and I tried to identify some of the trees, and I found it pretty easy with some of these little tips. So these might help you as well. So the first one, or I guess the first evergreen tree I'll cover, is the Douglas fir. So the tour guide, or my foraging guide, showed us the shape